Hi, this is Carol Pope.
Hi, I'm Kevin Staples.
And you're listening to Rainbow Country
with Mark Terra.
The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the persons appearing on the program.
Today on Rainbow Country, a spotlight on Canadian synth-pop band, Church of Trees, plus an HIV anniversary, and so much more. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio right here on Rainbow Country.
Hello, my name is Conchita.
And I'm Barbie Q.
And my name is Hardcora. And we are the Beat Girls.
You're listening to
Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Well, hello, and welcome to yet another journey through Rainbow Country. As I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. And as always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm producer and host, Mark Tara. By the way, Rainbow Country originates from CIUT FM in Toronto, the sound of your city, and now proudly in syndication on ten outlets across Canada as of June 1st. The latest station to carry Rainbow Country is CFRU 93.3 FM, broadcasting from Guelph since 1980. Welcome on board, Guelph. I hope you will enjoy the ride. So whether you're listening in the Yukon, to the prairies, to the east coast of Canada, in the Maritimes, Ontario's cottage country, southern Ontario, even down to Buffalo, New York, or online. Thanks to you tuning in, streaming, downloading, but ultimately listening. Together, we have made Rainbow Country into a nationally syndicated gay radio show, a number one LGBT podcast, a top 100 LGBT podcast to follow, currently sitting at number 43 on Feedspot.com. And last week, Rainbow Country was number 3 on Podomatic's gay and lesbian chart. So today, a spotlight on Canadian synth-pop band, Church of Trees. We'll hear from band leader Bernard Fraser, bandmate Allison Stanton, regular contributor to Church of Trees, Rob Pruse, who you might know from 80s new wave band, Spoons, as well as Honeymoon Suite, and featured guest on Church of Trees' current single, World's a Bitch, Canadian music icon, Carol Pope. Plus an hour or two, music from LGBT recording artists, independent recording artists, plus voices that we've come to know and love in classic disco, classic 80s, classic house. And by the way, this week, I'm featuring 3 song music sets from another Canadian music icon, Gino Vannelli, Canadian indie folk rock band, Eye the Mountain, and LGBT artist, Chicago-based deep house duo, Dance Loud. But up first, recently singer and actor Billy Porter, who you might know from the series Pose, revealed that he was HIV positive and has been for the past 15 years. Rainbow Country contributor, long-term HIV survivor and activist CJ recently shared his HIV anniversary, and I thought this is a perfect opportunity to retell CJ's story.
On a very sad day in 1984, I was diagnosed with HIV, being HIV positive. In 1984, being diagnosed with HIV positive was literally for a death sentence. My doctor actually gave me 3 years maximum to live. I ended up resigning my job, cashed in all of my bonds and everything, and I decided I was going to party for my, anyway, my short-lived life. I was 25 years old at the time, and it was shocking, it was ghastly, it was unreal. I remember going to a local bar and basically trying to drown myself in my sorrows. Very little was known about HIV at the time. We had not identified the virus. We had not identified the cause. In fact, we knew nothing. I am really, really glad to be here now to be able to say that I survived those dark times and have reached a new era, for lack of a better word. Myself and HIV have become frenemies, for lack of a better word. Because of my being HIV, I have met amazing, wonderful people who have thrilled me and made me laugh. I have made new friends to make up for the ones that I lost during those times. Life has changed, I think, mostly for the better. I mean, now anybody who's diagnosed has an opportunity and the chance to live. Medications have really changed our life. Those same medications, in fact, have changed and transformed gene therapy to the point where we now can get things like the COVID vaccine in a reasonably short space of time. To anyone who is diagnosed being HIV positive today, and I know this has been said many a time, it is not a death sentence. But that might depend on where you live, whether you have access to medications, and we have to take all of this into account. But yes, you are not alone. It is not a death sentence. You can live a good life. Reach out in your community or internationally on Facebook. There are organizations, no matter where you are, who are there for you and will be there for you. I again want to thank all the people who have made this an enjoyable and wonderful transformation on my part. I will continue to advocate for HIV treatment and access for all. This is CJ for Rainbow Country. Thank you.
Bill 7, to ban discrimination in employment, government services, and housing based on a person's sexual orientation was up for a vote at Queen's Park. Most NDP and Liberal MPPs supported the bill, but without some progressive conservative legislators backing, a divisive split could rack the province. Four PCs decided to break party ranks to vote with their conscience and support Bill 7. Cabinet Minister and MPP Dennis Timbrell did it to show solidarity for his beloved brother, the well-known drag queen Rusty Ryan. And for me, a gay politician who was not yet out, I had to take a stand. We were known as the Gang of Four. I'm former Cabinet Minister and MPP Phil Gillies. The date, December 2nd, 1986, when LGBT rights came to Ontario.
Hi, everybody. This is Gino Vanelli. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
Up next, Canadian synth pop band, Church of Trees.
There's clearly something about that tea. Seeing you in wireless ecstasy. Sipping on a Stella McCartney. She ain't no Beatle, but she'll catch you into my life, and I'll never let you go.
not in service at this time.
He is the band leader of the Ottawa-based synth-pop band, Church of Trees, Bernard Fraser. Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Another member of Church of Trees, horse-whispering rock star Allison Stanton. Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am well, or should I say nay? Good. I'm glad you laughed. I'm glad you got the joke. Up next, from Spoons to Honeymoon Suite to Church of Trees, songwriter, producer, musician, Rob Pruse. Hello.
Hello, Mark.
And Canadian Songwriting Hall of Famer, agent provocateur, and contributor to Church of Trees, the one and only Carol Pope. Hello.
Hello.
First of all, thank you all for being here to have your voices, your stories be heard by the LGBT community and beyond. Thank you for that, especially to talk about the new 2021 album, Pause, from Canadian synth-pop band Church of Trees. You're all involved in this project. Bernard, let's start with yourself. You are the leader. Let's start here. How many people are officially part of this band, Church of Trees?
That's a good question. Changes for any given moment, it can change. Right now, it's currently myself, Allison Stanton, whose lovely voice you just heard, Tara Hope. Jordan Zadorozny is an unofficial member because he is always sort of tailoring our audio in the studio and always plays guitar on our tracks. And of course, we're always open for contributions by our wonderful pal, Rob Pruse. And in this instance, the lovely Carol Pope.
Of course. And the name, Church of Trees. What's the story behind that name?
I live in the country out here in the Ottawa Valley, and I'm on 10 acres of land, which backs onto thousands of acres of crown land, so pretty much pristine forest. So when I sit here in my little recording studio and I look out the window, because I'm not a particularly religious guy, but I'm a spiritual guy, and my spirituality lies in nature, so I look out upon my Church of Trees.
Oh, nice. And did that name just come to you?
Yeah, it did. It did.
Well done. Yeah, well done. Yeah. Carol Pope, how do you know Bernard?
I met Bernard through Rob Pruse, who, how long have I known Rob? I don't know, but we've, yeah, thousands of years. And we've worked on, you know, some projects, some of my projects together, and we've performed together, and he's fabulous.
He is.
And Rob, how do you know Bernard and Church of Trees? How did this all come about for yourself?
I first met Bernard in 2017. Around Christmas of 2017, I live in Queens, New York, and I was up in Burlington, Ontario, visiting my family over the holidays. And Bernard and I were friends on Facebook, and we had been chatting, and I'd been listening to his music stuff, and he was going to be coming through town, and we said we should actually meet in person. So we got together at a Starbucks in Burlington, and we hung out for a couple of hours, and we said, you know what, we should make some music together. And I think the first thing we did was I added some keyboards to a song he was working on, and it just kind of has gone from there, where we've gone back and forth collaborating on a bunch of different things.
Allison Stanton, how did you join this group, this band, this project?
Well, Bernard put an ad on Facebook looking for a vocalist for his band. And we had a couple of meetings in person. And of course, I had to audition, and the first one sucked. But he was nice enough to give me a second chance. He's like, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Well, could I have another chance?" At least he saw something there and gave me the opportunity.
Nice. So, Bernard, the new record, the new album, Pause, how would you describe the sound, the sonic landscape of this record?
Well, it's a mix. I mean, our roots are synth pop, of course. You know, when we started back in 2017 with our debut EP, Primitive Creatures, it was kind of more dream poppy, but, you know, still well ensconced in synth pop. And that's my roots are you know, sort of early 80s synth pop. You know, we were just talking about Pet Shop Boys, of course, and Depeche Mode and Human League, you name it. They're all huge inspirations for me. So that's always sort of followed through everything. The, you know, the five albums that we've done, there's been a lot of synth pop, but at times there's I like to get a little edgy, and so there's some maybe more edgy indie pop with a synth flavor as well as you know, good old-fashioned synth pop.
Rob Pruse, you've worked on a number of tracks on this album, Pause. You've produced some, you remix some. Talk to me about how you guys decided what songs you might produce, you might remix. Talk to me about that process.
The remixes happened first. I think that Bernard had asked me to do a song. I think last summer. Bernard, was it last summer that I did End of Days? I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think you asked specifically about that song, and I was like, yes, I'll remix anything, because it's just really fun for me to take a song and tear it apart and then build it back up again. And then some point later in the year, I think you sent me a couple of songs. Bernard sent me a couple of songs and said, choose one of these to do a remix. And I loved this song, Powerful Love. It just sort of jumped out at me, and I just thought, this is something I could do. So it's all sort of, I sort of go on instinct in that way, that I'll take whatever. Like, I'm happy to just try anything. So I would just take the song and then get all the files for all the tracks. And then I open it up as if it's a brand new canvas, and I'll try not to listen to the original version. And I'll just go through the tracks and just sort of follow through and trust my instincts and see what happens.
Allison Stanton, you're featured on lead vocals on a couple of tracks. There's Big Black Car and Powerful Love. Rob was just mentioning about Powerful Love. Talk to me about this particular track, because lyrically, you're a woman and you're singing about a woman. So talk to me about this song and what it's all about.
Oh, Bernard asked me if I would be okay singing that, and I said I have absolutely no problem. I just put myself in those shoes and thought, you know, a sexy woman, no problem. I can try to sing about that, no problem. It's just a great song too. It had a great beat and had great meaning, so I just no problem with me.
Something about
have more of a hard rock background, I understand. Do you approach doing, say, a synth pop song differently than a hard rock song?
Yeah, a couple times I put a little too much energy, or I say growl in my voice, and I said, oh, maybe that's a little too much. But I think it's some songs call for that. Like that one in particular, it started to build and build each time, right? And I feel like sometimes it calls for that, just depending on the song, right?
Carol Pope, you're featured on the current single, World's a Bitch. Did you co-write the song at all?
Not really. I think I wrote one line. I did write one line.
So you came on as a vocalist then?
Yeah, because it was kind of similar to something that I would write. Mm-hmm. It's dark and it has a sense of humor. And
apparently you like to spit.
Apparently I do. I didn't know I did. But, yeah, spit on people. It just appealed to me, and you know, everybody is so angry and frustrated about COVID and the handling of it, especially in Ontario. And I would gladly spit on Ford anytime.
Well, you know, the thing is about that song is when I sent it to her, I said, you know, really, you have carte blanche to do whatever you want with this song. If you want to change some lyrics, like, God, change the lyrics. Because, I mean, Carol's a real hero of mine. I know she hates me saying this, but she's a massive hero of mine. And I've been listening to her since the middle 70s. And I thought, if I'm going to write a song that's, you know, featuring Carol Pope and try to emulate Carol, I want her to have as much a voice as I do. And, you know, if you want to change something, please do.
This is World's a Bitch is inspired, I think it's fair to say, by COVID-19, this pandemic. Bernard, talk to me about the music video, because it's a music video for the song that you guys shot during the pandemic that we're in. How challenging was it making this music video?
Well, really, the challenging part was mostly for Carol, because she's the one who had to go into the studio and actually shoot it. Now, you know, we took all COVID protocols, of course, and made sure it was a bare bones shooting compliment. So there were only a couple of people there. But she was the one who was taking all the risks. The rest of us were shooting from home. So we were all safe. But we did go into the studio to sing, record Carol's vocals together. So, I did take the risk there, but no, poor Carol was the only one who had to suffer that and deal with the anxiety for the next week, you know, whether she was going to come down with it or not.
So, Carol, were you nervous doing the video shoot?
Not so much, because I did try and stay away from everybody and the makeup artist. And the makeup artist that I work with, Sandra Yang, she work so much that she gets tested like once or twice a week, so I was fine about her. I didn't know anybody. I was just hoping everybody else was tested. But it is, it's certainly more stressful, and you want everything to go really fast. Just want it to be over.
Truth be known, yeah, I hear you. Are you happy with how it turned out, Carol, the music video?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Yeah, we were really lucky, because it wasn't sort of our first take on the video was not sort of a fan-based video. It was more, I had done a DIY video for the last album, a song called End of Days, where we called a lot of news footage just about COVID in general and the impact on the hospitals and, you know, the deserted streets and those first couple of weeks, you know, how deserted every place was around the world, you know, Times Square to, you know, Hollywood and Vine, you name it. And we were going to go with that approach, but it was Carol who said, you got to take a look at these really cool shots a friend of mine did of people sort of showing their their COVID angst in their own homes. And so she started the conversation about doing something that was more fan-based. And when we put the call out, we were just really, really surprised at how much people jumped on board and did such a great job too.
Well done. It's fun.
Thank you.
It's fun. Rob Pruse.
Yes.
Rob Pruse. Rob Pruse.
That's what I say.
Okay. Romantic Traffic, produced by Nile Rodgers. You co-wrote the song, a Canadian classic. You were part of the that new wave sound from the 80s with the group Spoons. Nova Heart. Arias and Symphonies, Tell No Lies. When you look back on that time with the Spoons, what comes to mind?
Well, a lot of good times making music and a lot of time spent putting on a lot of makeup that has lived on in photographs that I've been tagged in forever. But the music lives on in a way that I'm very proud of, and the pictures live on, and the pictures live on in a way that I can go, oh, I guess this is how Bowser from Shaun on Off feels when he looks at himself in the mirror, because he sort of maintained that look in a way, you know, that you like, you come through the 50s and you sort of hold on to that thing. But I never wanted to hold on to the 80s image thing, because that's just sort of what was happening at the time. But I feel like we were always trying to make music that was just like of the moment, but then the moment sort of becomes timeless, because it still sounds like I listen to some of our music once in a while. I'll hear it come up on a playlist or something, and it's so long ago, and I feel like I've lived so many lives since then, that when I hear it, I think, oh, I can hear it from a remove. And I, even though I remember being in the studio and all the moments leading up to it, I can listen to the final product and go, wow, this is actually kind of cool. Like, I guess because we always had good producers and engineers that helped to make the final product, that it was a bit out of my hands. Like I would do my part, we would do our parts, and then just kind of leave it in that way. So it lives on.
Nile Rodgers.
Yeah.
Hello. Crazy.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Allison Stanton, when Church of Trees does perform live, what do audiences get when you're on stage?
Oh, a really cool light show. Bernard has this amazing setup, and we have these flashing lights, all different colors, and laser beams, and he has some pre-recorded tracks, so the sound is a lot bigger than just the three of us up there, so it lets us have a little bit of freedom, too. You know, you can follow the track, and you know what's coming, and keeps you... Maybe when you're playing live, you don't have to be so nervous, because you know that you're gonna be able to remember the lyrics and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's a visual feast as well.
Yeah. And the costumes. We love to get dressed up, and it's all part of the image.
Okay.
So, because we didn't have a lot of a lot of time to put a bona fide band together, because it's there's a lot of layering that goes on in our production, so it's pretty complex. And because we didn't have a lot of money, we figured we might as well put on the best light show we could. So we've got video production, lasers, and as Alice was saying, lots of flashy lights.
So Bernard, You guys are doing more electronic based music. Are there a lot of venues that you can tap into in Canada to perform that effectively?
There aren't a lot in Canada, sadly. So it's, you know, we, before the lockdown, we were actually planning a tour of the UK, because that's really the UK and other parts in Europe, France and Germany, are really where our fan base lies. So there's a lot more venues to play there than there is here. But, you know, we're doing our best. There's a thriving synth community across Canada, too. And we all sort of we're all sort of banding together, trying to, you know, push venues into playing more synth music, because it is a fairly lively scene. So,
yeah, I would hope so. Make those bar owners play more synth music. That's what I say. So, Carol Pope, with everything that you've accomplished, four gold records, one platinum record, a double platinum record, now a member of the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, why did you want to be part of this particular project? What was it about World's a Bitch that spoke to you to say, you know what, I want to be part of this?
Just because the song is so great and I'm so pissed off about COVID, as I said, and the way it's being handled. And I'm like, and I know I can do interviews and just like go off on Ford. So, you know,
and you have,
I'm just going to go off on the government, the entire government's handling of this. And I wish that scientists were in charge, not idiotic politicians. So yeah, it's just an excuse for me to go off and be political, which I love. And the song is great. So it's exactly why I did it.
You know what? Just to go off on a tangent for a minute, I'll go off on a tangent with you there, Carol. But what surprises me about Canada is the fact that we do not manufacture our own vaccines. That's all I'll say. That's crazy to me.
Hmm. Well, you know whose fault that was? Mulroney. Because he closed the last plant, right? So, and it's really sad that conservatives are in charge in Ontario because, I don't know, they're like Republicans. They don't care about people. They don't care if you live or die. They care about business.
They're primitive creatures.
Yeah, they're like disgusting old white dudes. Even the women are disgusting old white dudes.
So on that interesting note, we will return after a Rainbow Country update.
I'm Billy Newton Davis, and we're sitting here on Rainbow Country with the fabulous Mark Tara.
The Companion, a historical fiction novel by author Kim Taylor Blakemore, is now an Amazon bestseller. So back in season 4, I had on best-selling author Kim Taylor Blakemore to talk about her book, The Companion, a historical mystery novel that takes the reader to 1855 New Hampshire, where Lucy Blunt revisits the events that landed her on death row, set to hang for a double murder she claims she didn't commit. Big congrats to author Kim Taylor Blakemore on The Companion being an Amazon number one bestseller in the LGBT historical fiction category. You can find The Companion by Kim Taylor Blakemore wherever you get your favorite books. Strike a Pose, the 2016 documentary that reunites the male dancers of Madonna's Blonde Ambition tour, is being re-released in conjunction with the 30th anniversary of Madonna, Truth or Dare. Strike a Pose will be re-released virtually on May 21st through Film Movement. For more information, filmmovement.com and search Strike a Pose. His name is Ray. To some, he may be another panhandler on Toronto's Lakeshore Boulevard. But the drug-addicted homeless man has a history, has a backstory straight from the sea and lost to the streets. This new Canadian documentary is from director Michael Del Monte, who brought us the 2018 trans documentary Transformer and 2019's Village of the Missing. His Name is Ray is currently free to Hot Docs members across Canada until May 27th. To become a member and for more information, hotdocs.ca. The 30th annual LGBT Film Festival Inside Out runs May 27th to June 6th, virtually. A couple of films that are part of this year's festivals are Trans in Trumpland and Bloodthirsty. Both of those projects have been featured right here on this very program. Inside Out runs May 27th to June 6th. For more information, insideout.ca. And just a bit of a heads up, Inside Out is streaming virtually, but only available in Ontario.
Hi, I'm Gordep of the Spoons. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
By the way, Primitive Creatures 2017 charted in Japan, in the UK, in Canada in 2018. The Dark and the Light featured the number one single, Like Gary Numan. 2020, New Bold Dawn. 2021, Pause. Bernard, why did you want to create this band, this project, Church of Trees? What was it that led you to create this?
The impetus really lies in a conversation that I'd had with an old friend of mine by the name of Jody Calero, who runs a synchronization house in Toronto called Silent Joe. And he said, you know, man, you got to shake your music up. I said, okay, how do I do that? He says, you got to find somebody young, somebody with cool ideas. So I put out an ad, and I was looking for somebody who was youthful and had interesting ideas, considerably different from my own. And I found Felicity DeCarl, who is Russell DeCarl of Prairie Oyster. It's his niece. And so we started on that, just writing. I was left her in charge of sort of pushing my musical direction. So she gave me a playlist of all kinds of bands that I'd never heard of. And I just started listening to them and started writing sort of with that in that vein. And then she took reins in terms of writing the lyrics and the melodies and came up with some wonderful, wonderful ideas. And I, from that point on, I couldn't stop. I was in.
And Bernard, what's your background when it comes to music? Like, how did you get into music in the first place?
I was primarily in synth. I mean, I had sort of basic rock bands way back when, but in the 80s, it was I had a band called News from the Roof, and we're doing synth music. And in fact, that was the first time, although I didn't actually meet Rob, that was the first time I'd actually been in Rob's presence, because Rob played on the same stage the same night with the Jim Witter band.
Right. Was it the Copa?
It was at the Copa, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. So, but yeah, it all started with synth. It's just, it seems to be my driving force, my musical driving force.
So when it comes to 2021's pause, are you content with the final product?
I love what we've done, and I especially love what Rob has done and what Rob brings to the table. You know, it's always really interesting to throw a song over to him and just let him do what he wants to do. Again, I never know what to expect, because you never know what colors he's going to use from the palette. And it's always interesting and always very cool. So especially from that perspective, I'm delighted. One of the other songs that Rob and I worked on together is a song called Ego and Greed, which started out as more of a dance song. It was, I think, 130 or 140 BPM. Was it, Rob? I don't remember.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. And then the first thing Rob did when he got it was he turned it down to 101 and then just started layering these very, as he said before, he sort of strips away everything that, you know, that I have done, and then starts to add his own colors from his own palette. And just, it always amazes me what he does with it. So, yeah, I'm really delighted.
So, Allison Stanton, I introduced you as a hoarse whispering rock star. Do you have a love and affinity for horses?
Yes, that's what I've always done. I've trained horses and teach people how to ride. This is actually my very first original project. I was only in a cover band before. So, yeah.
In fact, one of our first rehearsal spaces was in a horse barn.
That's wow. Right. Yeah, they came to the place where I worked, and there was like a conference room upstairs above the stable. So we would go up there, and then we would practice. It was kind of fun. Although it did smell like horse, so I warned them ahead of time.
Wow. And Rob Pruse, I mentioned you were part of Spoons, Honeymoon Suite for a few years.
Yeah.
What is Rob Pruse up to these days?
These days, I'm working on Bernard's project. I've been working with a country singer, an LGBTQ country singer from Ottawa and Nova. He's originally from Nova Scotia, but he's based in Ottawa, named Drake Jensen. And Drake and I have collaborated on a bunch of songs over the last few years as well. And he's done some really cool, he's sort of trying to bridge the gap between dance music and country music. And he's got some really cool things he's been working on. So I've been working with Drake quite a bit. He's got some new releases that I've produced for him and done some remixes for him as well. And then I'm involved with, actually here in Queens, New York, I'm doing some teaching with school kids, which is something that my wife and I have done for the last like 5 or 6 years, where we've gone in and done like these residencies with the public school kids and teaching them songs from the Beatles, which to me is like an important thing because, first of all, people always bitch about the lack of arts education in public schools, especially in America. It's crazy. So my stepson was at a school in our neighborhood, and I kind of volunteered right away to say we would love to sort of be involved with the kids and kind of give them some inspiration and come in maybe for like 4 or 5 weeks and teach them some songs. And I always wanted to do a thing with the Beatles because I feel like the Beatles is our 20th, 21st century classical music, and the kids don't really know them. Like, you know, we go to like work with the grade 4, 3 and 4 kids, and they're so cute. And we teach them She Loves You, and we teach them Help. And we tell them that their homework is to go home and listen to Beatles records. And then they come back and we say, what's your favorite song? And like these little kids, they're like, they love Eleanor Rigby. And they've never heard, like, this music is all brand new to them. So it's a fun thing for us to sort of help inspire another generation to hopefully either make music or just become fans of the music world, you know?
Fantastic. Carol Pope, what are you up to these days?
Just plugging away on a musical that I co-wrote with Kate Rigg in New York called Attitude, which was supposed to start workshopping last year at Buddies in Bad Times, but now we're doing another virtual workshop. I hope next month.
And are you selling Rough Trade face masks on your website?
Oh, yeah, right.
CarolPope.com?
It's actually they're actually on Teespring, which is in California. Okay. But yeah, that we
but
are
people
selling
can go
those
to your website to
yeah, there,
to
I think there's a link on my website. And I don't know what else I'm doing. Just doing that and supposedly doing some live streams next month, one at the Oakville Music Center on June 3rd, and then I'm doing a Juno thing, which I don't know if I should talk about yet, but also doing that in June.
So you're busy, in other words.
Yeah.
So Bernard, when it comes to pause, your current record, your current album, do you call it a record, an album? What do you call it?
I still call it an album. Yeah, I don't know what
it's
else
a full
you
thing
call
it's a full thing. Whether you have the actual vinyl or not, it's a full damn thing.
Yeah, exactly.
When your audience, your fans listen to this record, this album as a whole, what would you like your audience to come away with after hearing this?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, on some level, I guess a sense of fulfillment because the album really runs the gamut in terms of emotions. You know, there's highs and lows and contemplation and, you know, in your face. And so I guess a sense of fulfillment that, you know, they've got their yayas out, so to speak. we finished the album with a song called Wales, which I've been waiting to put on an album for a couple of years because it's really near and dear to my heart. And it's a song that is essentially an homage to Captain Paul Watson. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he was one of the original members or founding members of Greenpeace, and he broke off. They had some political strife, and he went off in his own direction and created the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, that is essentially a group of ships that are out in the high seas and battling whale ships, trying to stop people around the world and companies from around the world to stop whaling and decimating our whale population. And I've been waiting to put that on the right album because it really was a nice punctuation mark for me, a nice way to end in terms of you know, not making it about us, but making it about something that's really, really important. And in this case, the whale population and what Captain Paul does.
Well said. Well said. Well done. All of you, Allison, Carol, Rob, Bernard, thank you all for being on the show. Thank you for this new record. Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for having us, Mark. We appreciate it.
By the way, Church of Trees' current album is called Pause and is available wherever you get your favorite music. And for even more on this band and collective, churchoftrees.com.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer. And I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station, specifically for our issues, to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And, of course, our artists and the things that we do globally and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So support. Tune in. Thank you.
Hi, this is Police Constable Danielle Botno, also known as LGBT Cop, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara.
And just like that, this little journey through Rainbow Country has come to an end. For the full two-hour episode of Rainbow Country, where I feature music from LGBT recording artists, independent recording artists, plus voices that we've come to know and love in classic disco, classic 80s, classic house, just head over to marktara.com and hit the archives banner. To keep up to date with the show, follow me on socials at marktaramusic. The podcast is available wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and of course, everything is hooked up at marktara.com. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, be well, be strong, be safe. Wales from Church of Trees.